Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. We're going to talk about life on our planet. What do we need? And why do we think we need that? Well, because the Apus have spoken. What does that mean? Apus have spoken. What's an Apu? An Apu is a high peak and a mountain in the Andes. They're all called Apus, the peaks, these great mountains. And they all have a way of speaking with the shamans. And they have spoken that they're not doing well. This planet is not doing well. They're losing their glaciers. They're not happy. So we need to do a better job. And the shamans are here to help us learn how to do a better job of living on our planet and being true to ourselves and each other and nature. And so to help us do that, we're so fortunate that there's an American shaman who has written two books that I've recently read that are wonderful. I'm very excited about having read them and passing that on to you. And he's here with a native shaman from Peru who has been his teacher for many, many years and who has come out of the high mountains. And this is a very unusual story. He's an extremely unusual shaman. And we're going to talk with him and with his student, who is now a shaman as well, J.E. Williams, who's written the books Light of the Andes and the Andean Codex. Fascinating books. So I'm very happy to have James and Sebastian on the show. James, welcome.
Thank you very much, Peter, for having us on. Sebastian's sitting right here next to me.
Yes, welcome, Sebastian.
Thank you very much. In Quechua.
Yes. Sebastian speaks Quechua and Spanish. Quechua is the native language of the region that he's from, the Andes, native language of the Andes. And it's he lives at a great altitude. James, could you speak a little bit about where Sebastian has come from?
Yes, Sebastian is a member of the Quero people, Q'ERO, pronounced Quero in their language. They speak Quechua, and his people live south of Cusco towards Bolivia and into the high mountains toward the east, and their territory drapes over the high mountains into the cloud forests that roll into the great Amazon and even to Brazil. So they live in extremely remote area. They principally live in a cluster of communities over probably something like the size of West Virginia, about a few thousand people, and an average between 14,000 and 16,500 feet.
How does that compare to Machu Picchu?
Machu Picchu is about 9,000 feet.
Okay, so this is way up there. And when you went there first, in the Andean Codex, you talk about your initial journey to them.
Yes.
And how is it to get to where they are?
Well, in those days, about 20 years ago, we had to take the rickety bus on switchback dirt road from Cusco out up into the mountains for about 6+ hours of, barring breakdowns and the bus going over the cliff and roads being washed out with rain to a place called Paucartambo, which is kind of a market center in that region. And then from Paucartambo, we overnight, we go from there by foot, which is another 2 days by foot up into the high mountains.
And it's a lot of climbing.
Yes, it's basically uphill all the way.
Right, and you can really only go in with what you can carry on your back.
Yes, in those days you could only go in with what you can carry on your back or on llamas. They have a few horses in the region, and sometimes they employ those if we have more if we have more gear. But, you know, as a lifelong ethnographer and ethnobotanist, I've learned when I work with indigenous people to do it their way. So if they go with sandals, and, you know, I go with sandals, if they go, and I learned on that first book to remember to go with sandals, because at altitude your feet swell, so no matter how good of mountaineering boots you might have, if they swell inside the boots, you're going to blister, which I did. So I learned that you need to have more room, and that they're wearing sandals has a purpose to it. It's not just because that's all they have.
And yet almost every night it's below freezing, so you're...
Well, yes, absolutely every night it drops well below freezing, even in the summer.
And yet during the day it warms up and more comfortable.
Well, during the day, because it's high altitude equatorial region, in the day at say by 10 in the morning, the ice that's formed overnight is starting to melt off, and by midday it's scorching sun. You can have your hand in the sun and burn the back of your hand in 15 to 20 minutes, and on your left hand you could be, if there was a shadow there, a bottle of water could be still ice in it.
Well, one thing I'm curious about, you said, you know, 20 years ago it was so hard to access. What's changed?
Two things have changed. One of them major is that the Peruvian and Brazilian government have agreed upon and have started and nearly completed the first road through the Brazilian Amazon and the Peruvian Andes. And where they put it is in these remote areas, and it cuts right through the edge of Caro territory, and not where Sebastian's people are, but where another group of Caro are. And even though it's not paved in there, and even though it washes out a lot, it's still accessible by bus to a certain kind of a staging point. And some of the Caro people from that region are coming out and having more access to the outside world, and the other people are having, you know, more access to them from that staging point. So you can take a bus ride of about, or a four-wheel drive vehicle of about maybe 8 hours, 10, 12 hours, depending on conditions, to that staging point. And then you can walk in a matter of maybe a half day to the first village. Where Sebastian's people are in some of the more remote areas, even from that staging point, it would still take several days to walk into his place.
Wow. And yet this gives access to more trade and perhaps more diversity of food.
Exactly. The Caro, when Sebastian and I have been talking a lot about this, or he's been reminiscing about his grandparents and his parents in his early days. And, you know, and he said, you know, his grandparents and parents spoke only Quechua, not a single word of Spanish. They never went out from the area. His father did go out to Cusco, who was a famous, well-known shaman in that region, and he would go out once in a while. And Sebastian himself was raised in that traditional way. That means that 100% of what they ate, except for salt, he told me they bartered for salt a few times a year from the outside. Everything else was raised there in their territory, and all their clothing that they made was from alpaca. So they herd the alpaca, and then they shear the alpaca, spin the wool, use natural dyes, and make their own clothing. And then he came out at 15 with his father one time, and he said it was such a shock that he turned around and went back and didn't come out again for another 10 years or so. And I met him. He was in his mid-30s, and he had only been out between, you know, the 25 and 35 years old, only a few times, and spoke no Spanish at all when I first met him. So their lifestyle was, in that sense, authentic, traditional, and remote, no contact to the outside, or minimal and pure at that time. And then they start to, when they have this other access, they start to barter, trade. They start to come out to work as porters on the Inca Trail, or as construction workers, some of them, and very, very, very low pay. They have a little bit of cash, and they start buying or trading some outside food, mostly wheat or a little bit of noodles. And even if it's a small amount, it disrupts their traditional diet, and within a generation or two, their health changes, their teeth change, they start to have all the problems like we have, but they didn't have before.
Yeah, it's amazing that modern life is so difficult, and yet their primitive life that they were leading, we would think is almost impossible, and they were very comfortable with it because it was what they knew, and they were good at it.
Yeah, they were not only good, they were masters of their environment, and not only recently, but for thousands of years, and one of the reasons that Sebastian came out was because we became connected, and then Pachamama, the great mother, and the Apus, the intelligence of nature that they believe is resides in the great mountains and permanently snow-capped peaks, have requested him to bring the message of sustainability, mastering the environment. As you said, shamans are here to help us do a better job at living on the planet, and so that's why he's here, and that's why he's learned Spanish, and said if he had a give him a year with good, with talking English, and he'd pick that up too, so he could carry the message.
Yeah, so I'm very excited that he's here. I know it's difficult for him to not be at altitude, but he's following the messages of the Apus and Pachamama, and it's so important for him to do this great work of waking us up really to the true nature of being earth keepers and society keepers as well, and following basic principles that he has learned and we all have to learn to follow. So he's here to teach us about these principles, and then to also do empowerments. Understand. There's a word, a special word that you use it's from their vocabulary that is very important for all of us, and it's Aini, A-Y-N-I. Can you speak about Aini?
Yes, I'm going to speak about Aini, and I'm going to also let Sebastian speak in
Please.
Our trans.
Yes, I'm so glad Sebastian can contribute in Quechua or Spanish, whatever he feels best with.
Aini pilanca y conocai cojaca trabajando esto, los eros trabajan con Aini chakra. También Aini pi yanapanagoico uyomichita. Aini pi yanapanagoico pispacho pepes Aini. Yaimanta chay Aini calpa, Aini carpai.
What Sebastian is saying that the Caro live and work in Aini, which is responsibility and reciprocity among all things. So not only among each other in terms of bartering and training, but also in daily life. And that's especially to Pachamama and the Apus and all living things. And they make offerings of reciprocity as a responsibility to the Great Mother, Pachamama and the Apus, that are called despachos, and he's asking people to come to this understanding and come into the circle to become more aware and more awake to the concept of principle guided living, which is represented in the Quechua word Aini, A-Y-N-I.
Right, and then there's a word called Kause that has to do with how we use Aini.
And correct.
Yes.
The Aini Kause is the Aini in daily life.
Kause. Kei causa ipeka, aini causa ipeka, somak causa inatarne, alin causa, kamila konanten, oasemasi konanten, lahtamasi konanten, somak causa, aini causa, manan, chernenato ikan, no hay problema, no hay preocupación, no hay nada, pero esto causa, aini causa, felicidad, armonía.
Is that that in daily life, when you practice aini, when you really immerse yourself in that and in the principle of aini, then the daily life or the daily practice, aini kausai, creates beauty. Sumak creates not so much a visual beauty, but a more of a harmonious and everything smoother in your life, like a beautiful dinner would be. Tasty and just right.
So this is perfect because this shows us how to live in nature. Not, I don't mean nature out in the woods. I'm talking about life, natural life. How to live in life in a way that makes it flow, that we can be in more synchronicity in life, that we can be more intuitive and feel more natural in the flow, and then the flow comes naturally back to us.
Beautifully said, Peter.
Thank you. And I think what the power is here also is that Sebastian is bringing his carpes, and carpes are his ceremonies. And he does aini ceremonies, aini carpes. And I think it opens us up to our sense of responsibility to ourselves, to our higher selves, to our planet, to our sense of love for life and each other. And so I think being initiated into that is an extra sense of purpose. And I love the word aini because the word has to do with reciprocity. It includes responsibility, because if you're not responsible, you're not reciprocitous. I guess that's the word. So you're not giving back. And for instance, one of the things that the Karo do is that if they're going to drink something, they first pour a few drops on the ground to give to Pachamama, to give back from what they're drinking. It's so beautiful to know that.
And also the Aini also embraces remembrance, and primarily is the remembrance of our connection to Pachamama. So the first pour of the chicha or aha or water or tea or mates, they call there, is to Pachamama, for the remembrance, you know, and for all of creative life. So they'll often say, "Mamita, little mother, I remember you. I know where I come from, and I never will forget you." And then, Peter, what you said about the aini, the ceremonies of reciprocity are called aini despachos, and those are the offerings that they make to Pachamama and the Apus, and in remembrance, as a form of responsibility and as a form of connecting, a ritual form of connecting, that entrains their nervous system with that of the planetary consciousness, and they are asking us to share in those, and to take it even a step further, which is the aini karpai, where you were initiated in. And a number of years ago, Sebastian came to me, and little by little, the messages of the Pachamama and the Apus were coming to him. And then they were telling him to talk to me, and then we would talk, and including with his, you know, entire family and other community members, and everyone would be in agreement, which is also part of Aini, and then which means that they would clarify their vision and their teachings and what Pachamama is saying. And then about 5-6 years ago, he said it's time to initiate, and I had already been initiated, and just a handful of Peruvians and Americans total had had some form of initiation with the Quero, I being one of them, and in an advanced manner, they said, now I'm at the place where I can help them, guide other people. So we do hold these Aini Karpai initiation journeys, and then continue teaching. We'll be doing that here in Sarasota for a few of our senior students, and then in Berkeley, and a few weeks for a few of our senior students, and then, of course, in Peru. Habla un poco de Aini Karpai.
Yeah. Aini Karpai, Aini es Karpai, es iniciación para conectar los apos, los pachamamas, Aini. Todos Karpai, energía, armonía, felicidades, para viaje, para trabajo. Después, para trabajar, Aini trabaja en gentes, todos sacerdotes, incas, para trabajar armonía, para viaje, para por la puerta y está abierto.
Yes. And
Babe,
yes.
He said the initiation of the Aini Karpai is to directly connect, almost like a phone call, to between the initiates and Pachamama and the Apus, with the shamans there helping, and to bring this Kaipai, and to energize energize the individuals to become carriers of the message of Aini.
That's great. Now, also, you yourself had your own ceremony. I might call it an Apu Karpai.
yes.
And that was an incredible journey that you took with him. That was, why don't you describe it? Because it was amazing to read about.
Yes, in my second book about the Andes, The Light of the Andes, I had a series of remarkable dreams, and where an Apu came in the form of a sort of like a colonially dressed Andean gentleman, and then appeared over a number of occasions in Cusco, and they sensed all of this was happening, and there were many other synchronicities that came in that informed Sebastian and his people that something very special was happening, and that it was time to go to the most sacred of all mountains, the Apu Aswangate, for this very high level of initiations, and for me to connect directly with the Apu, no intermediary, and they would bring me to that point, and then I would go alone, and that's what I did up to 18, 19, 20,000 feet into the high peaks. And in the book, we talk about a glacier there that has been always there, but the glaciers and the permanent snow cover are reduced by 60% in the Peruvian Andes, well documented, by the way, and by the scientists. And this particular glacier, however, the year or and a half after I was there, completely sheared off of the side of the mountain. The glacier is completely 100% gone, and now Sangate has become kind of a trekking ground for foreigners to come in groups, and they don't go up into the mountain, the high part, but there's a circuit around the mountain, and completely transformed. And so I was probably the last of those to see the mountain in the old way.
And also, you had the initiation up there was very
yes.
difficult for you. For one thing, there was a lake right at about 19,000 feet that you did some ceremony at, and you had to jump in the lake. And this is, it's water that, because of the sun, it's water during the day, and then it's ice at night and water back in the day. So it's not spring-fed, and you had to jump in and out at that height, at that altitude, and you could barely breathe at that altitude.
Oh, absolutely! And when you add the cold, there's icebergs floating in the water, so it's like taking ice water from your refrigerator, and then that's not cold enough. So putting ice into your glass, you can imagine, and at that thin air and at that altitude, But that's part of the cleansing ritual. So, you know, what's really important is that they feel traditionally, as Sebastian is an authentic traditional carol, Hatun Pampa Misayok. They we might, you know, abbreviate that and call it a shaman. But in our work, we never refer to ourselves as shamans. He always says, I'm a servant of Pachamama and the Apus, you know, and that any power that I have comes from them. I'm just a humble person who this happens to be my way of life, and I'll walk this path traditionally without deviation until my last day here on earth and do everything I can to serve that. And you have to have permission, he said, you know, you have to be connected. Without that, para hacer permiso, mm-hmm. without that, you can't get initiated. You can't get, you know, get to the high mountain. And then you have to have the cleansing. Therefore, it's not just a plunge into the cold. Like, you have to stand in the water, and then they pour more water over you. And then they rub ground up quartz crystals into your skin, and then cover you with, you know, herbs. And by that time, you're for a white urban American, you can get pretty challenged.
Yeah, well, it's definitely helpful to have great purpose, and so that's what this is all about. It's the great purpose of healing Pachamama, because we're not helping Pachamama at this point in society, and it's bringing us back into alignment, attunement.
Exactly. You know, Peter, I know our time is coming up short here, but yeah. In the last few seconds, I want Sebastian to say a word of closing, is that we all have to remember that Pachamama, we are not healing Pachamama. We are the illness, and so we need to heal ourselves. As you know, I'm also a clinician. I'm a doctor in the daytime taking care of patients and helping people come back to wellness through all integrative care, all forms of therapies that we have for them, and we need to do that as a society as well, and then remember her, and then she takes care of herself and us again, and that way we take care of each other.
That's important. Pachamama is bigger than all of us, and we have to respect that and honor that. And so, Sebastian, would you like to give us parting, whatever feels right for you?
Una oración para terminar la conversación.
Una oración y pidiendo las apos, apos al sancate, apos al jantai, apos al yorite. Tres apos hay en Perú, mucho poder, más apos al sancate. Hay para oración. Para pedir la oración, la Pachamama, nuestra, así estás pidiendo la oración. Terminando ahora el señor Pedro. Señor Pedro, tú trabajas con oración, con permiso. Si no, no vale para nada este trabajo, pero tú vas a trabajar con permiso, la Pachamama, permiso, los apus, permiso, Taitainto y Mamaquilla, permiso, señor, después. Ya trabajamos, tú trabajas, muchísimos trabajos siempre. La oración, un querido, querido, y ni la papita, janajpacha, quilipacha, lo hacen mi Espíritu Santo con este plato, se mente en mochorca, guanioca, en crosco, y hay que catascar en chicha, en tus queridos. Santa Tera, Pachamama, somas, permiso, y que van con anca, la veracocha, pedruta, somas, cantando, pero santo. La caínte, a tiñente, monaínte, la caínte, somos hasta proteger quien que está con esta parte. Países trabajan por la caínte y más o menos que impetina ya por lo que está en las calles. Y ya el Señor y los espíritus son tempes en la pescacho de Jesús. Amén.
Gracias. Yes, thank you, James Williams, J.E. Williams, the author of Light of the Andes and the Andean Codex. And Sebastian, thank you. You're both so wonderful to be on Energy Stew. Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.